Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Mario Ritter and John Russell. Later, Phil Dierking and Alice Bryant will bring us this week's education report. But first, signs for the recent protest in Charlottesville, Virginia, promised to unite the right. That expression was directed at white nationalist groups that oppose the removal of a statue from a public park in the city. The statue is of General Robert E. Lee, who led Confederate forces in battle during the Civil War. After 4 years of fighting, Union forces defeated the Confederates. The white nationalist groups have different plans and goals. Here is a look at some of the terms used to describe some of those present at the protest.
White supremacists believe the white race is better than other races. The Southern Poverty Law Center is a nonprofit civil rights group. It says white supremacy is a historically based system of abuse and oppression of continents, nations, and peoples of color by white people and nations of the European continent. The SPLC says the aim of the system is to protect and defend a system of wealth, power, and rights. Some white nationalists and white supremacists use the term alt-right to describe themselves. They want to restrict immigration, limit government powers, and enforce law and order. They believe Western culture is better than other cultures. Alt-right activists do not agree with the democratic ideal that all members of society should have equal rights. The Ku Klux Klan is one of the oldest hate groups in the United States. The group has a long history of violence. It began targeting black Americans, but it has also attacked Jews, immigrants, homosexuals, and, until recently, Catholics. In 1975, David Duke founded the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Duke said his goal was to make the KKK less violent. He and his supporters call themselves the Knights Party. They believe that non-whites should obey Christian teachings. They believe whites must not marry or live near non-whites. They also believe that in the years to come, they will be recognized by the American people as the white rights movement.
The neo-Nazis, or American Nazi Party, wants all Aryans in North America to unite. On its website, the party says there must be an all-white National Socialist America, an America in which our children and our grandchildren will play and go to school with other white children, an America in which they will date and marry other young people of our own race, an America in which all their offspring will be beautiful, healthy white babies. The party says the culture, society, businesses, and politics of the United States should be free of foreign and Jewish influence. An America in which white people are the sole masters of our own destiny. Neo-Confederates believe the American Civil War never ended. They consider themselves members of a new Confederate army. Their goal is to have a country made up only of the southern states. Members of the Traditionalist Worker Party believe the U.S. is far too large, diverse, and infested with lobbyists and oligarchs for realistic solutions to come from a centralized, top-down approach to solving political problems. The group wants power taken from the corrupt and unaccountable federal government. It says power should be given to community and regional leaders who stand for traditional values, strong families, and revived cultures.
At least two opposing groups publicly opposed the protest last Saturday. The Black Lives Matter group says on its website that it is working for the validity of black life. The group was founded in 2012 after the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, an African-American teenager. BLM says it supports black queer and trans folks, disabled folks, black undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all black lives along the gender spectrum.
Antifa is short for the term anti-fascists. Mark Bray wrote a book called Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook. He says the Antifa movement came out of resistance to Italian leader Benito Mussolini and German leader Adolf Hitler in the 1920s and 1930s. The movement opposes the alt-right and the rule of U.S. President Donald Trump. These groups are not organized and not considered widespread throughout the country. They strongly oppose discrimination against homosexuality, racism, sexism, and sometimes capitalism.
Indonesia's President Joko Jokowi Widodo is again urging an increase in efforts to fight illegal drugs in the country. Jokowi said police should shoot foreign drug dealers who resist arrest. He added that the country is in a narcotics emergency position. Jokowi made his comments at a political event in late July. Days before the speech, police shot and killed a Taiwanese man for resisting arrest. Police say he and several others were trying to smuggle 1,000 kilograms of crystal methamphetamine into Indonesia. Recently, Jakarta Police Chief General Adam Aziz said he would not think twice about dismissing police officers who were not fighting drug trafficking enough. In addition, the Ministry of Law and Human Rights recently announced a plan to place all people currently jailed for drug offenses into four prisons. The prisons in West Java, North Sumatra, Central Java, and Central Kalimantan would get increased security, news reports say. The New York-based rights group Human Rights Watch has criticized Indonesia's campaign against drug trafficking. In a statement, the group said President Joko Widodo should send a clear and public message to the police that efforts to address the complex problems of drugs and criminality require the security forces to respect everyone's basic rights, not demolish them. The aim of Indonesia's campaign is to stop the flow of the low-cost drug crystal methamphetamine. It is similar to the effort of President Rodrigo Duterte of the Philippines. He has been criticized for his violent campaign against drug crimes. Thousands of drug dealers and users have been killed. Last month, Indonesian officials seized the largest amount of crystal methamphetamine in the history of the country. The head of Indonesia's narcotics agency, General Budi Waseso, called for a war on drugs, similar to the one in the Philippines, last September. He told Australia's ABC News agency, "The market that existed in the Philippines is moving to Indonesia. The impact of President Duterte's actions is an exodus to Indonesia." Drug trafficking can carry a death sentence in Indonesia, which considers the offense as serious as murder or terrorism. People found guilty of low-level drug crimes are estimated to make up 70% of Indonesia's prison population. Erasmus Napi Tupulo is with the Institute for Criminal Justice Reform in Jakarta. He said there are many questions about President Jokowi's drug policy. He criticized the death sentence as putting a big burden on Indonesia's justice system. The death penalty targets small drug couriers, which in many cases leads to unfair trials. Indonesian law has not been able to bear the burden of fair trials, he said. Southeast Asian countries have resisted lightening punishments for drug users or traffickers. Besides Indonesia and the Philippines, other countries in the area, including Singapore, want to continue with harsh punishments for drug crimes. Last year, however, Thailand considered changing the criminalization of methamphetamine because prisons were becoming overcrowded. But there are no similar signs in Indonesia. In 2015, Jokowi led an anti-drug campaign that resulted in the execution of 14 people for drug offenses. But critics say that the severe punishments have not reduced the number of crimes. Claudia Stoicescu is a researcher at the University of Oxford. She wrote, "Far from having a deterrent effect, the number of drug-related crimes in Indonesia increased in the months after the executions were carried out in January and April 2015. Other critics say increased resources used for drug-related arrests have taken money away from rehabilitation efforts. Some say those resources could be better used to help an estimated 1 million Indonesians addicted to methamphetamines. Erasmus says Indonesia should learn from the experience of the United States. the U.S. has reduced the number of arrests over small drug crimes and moved to legalize small amounts of the drug marijuana. If Indonesia retains capital punishment as the main solution for drug issues, then I believe it is a political decision to preserve politicians' images, not to protect actual narcotics victims, he said. I'm Mario Ritter.
In Moscow is preparing to hear arguments from the family of Raoul Wallenberg in a case against Russia's Federal Security Service, or FSB. The former Swedish diplomat has been credited with saving thousands of Jews during World War II. A lawyer for his family says the court will hear the arguments on August 17th. The family is asking the FSB to provide documentation that could help prove what happened to Wallenberg at the end of the war. We feared we will encounter resistance from the court in the adoption of the claim, given that in recent decades, Russian state agencies have invented reasons not to provide information on this case, lawyer Ivan Pavlov said on August 10th. Raoul Wallenberg served as a diplomat in German-occupied Hungary during World War II. He led an effort that saved the lives of thousands of Hungarian Jews. The Soviet Union took control of Hungary from German forces as the war came to a close. Soviet forces captured Wallenberg in 1945. He later died in prison, although details of his death are unclear. Russia has only said that Wallenberg died in 1947 in Moscow's Lubyanka prison. At the time, the prison was operating under the KGB, the main security agency for the Soviet Union. The FSB replaced the KGB after the breakup of the country in 1991. Soviet officials, and later Russia, claimed the then 35-year-old Swede died of a heart attack. Wallenberg's family, Swedish officials, and others have disputed that claim. Marie Dupuy, Wallenberg's niece, said on July 26th that she had asked the Russian legal organization Team 29 to bring the case to court. Numerous requests to Russian authorities over many years, publicly and privately, by myself, by expert historians, and Swedish officials, have failed to yield any results, she said. Dupuy claimed Russian records contained documents with direct relevance to Wallenberg's condition. But she said his family and independent experts have not been permitted to examine the documents. As soon as August 17th, we will clarify the position of the FSB, which has not commented on this case in any way, and we will find out what we are going to face in court," Pavlov said. I'm John Russell.
The best educational environments are those that are fair to all students, male or female. But in many places around the world, female and male students do not always have the same chances for a good education. In today's teaching tips, we will discuss supporting gender equality in the classroom. We also will discuss how to create a more equal and balanced learning environment. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, says access to a good education is important for getting out of poverty. An educated individual is more likely to grow up healthy and have more opportunities for employment. This increases their chance of raising healthy children and supporting them to also get an education. When all students, both male and female, have equal access to educational opportunities, the results impact future generations. Creating more equal educational opportunities for students begins in the classroom and with the teacher. A strong teacher is one who treats their students fairly and creates an environment where students feel equally able to take part.
Number 1. Tips for learning environments. Teachers can create the appearance of gender bias through unintentional nonverbal actions. The first step to correcting this problem is to organize your classroom in a way that makes all students feel equal. Establish rules. It is important for a teacher to establish a set of rules from the very beginning that promote equality. An effective way to do this is to create class rules with students. Ask students to suggest ideas for how to keep an equal and respectful classroom. This permits the teacher to point to the rules as something that the whole class has agreed on. It is important to include rules that deal with respecting students, respecting the teacher, and participating in class. Have a classroom seating plan that supports equal participation. If you find that certain students, regardless of their gender, are not participating in class, try to change your class seating plan. For example, try having students who usually sit in the back come to the front. Teachers tend to interact the most with students sitting closest to them. For this reason, it is important to change the seating order, if possible, to give all students a chance to sit near the teacher. Have equal academic and behavior expectations for all students. Teachers should try to avoid making things easier for either male or female students by giving them easier questions in class or trying to solve things for the students. Doing this can create the perception that certain students are not as smart as others. Teachers should hold the same expectations of all students. Use group work. Often, there will be some students, male or female, who are not comfortable speaking in front of large classes, but they may feel more comfortable speaking in small groups. In order to give all students the opportunity to take part in class, try doing some activities in small groups of 3 to 4 students.
Number 2. Tips for classroom strategies. After organizing your class in a way that promotes equality, the next step is to consider the effects of your actions in class. Addressing students equally. One of the main opportunities students have to participate in class is when they are answering teachers' questions. Teachers need to call on or talk to both female and male students in a balanced way. Research shows that both male and female teachers often call on male students to speak in class more often than female students. Provide enough wait time to answer questions. Some students, male or female, may need time to think about the answer to a question when called on by a teacher. When calling on students who seem to wait longer to answer a question, make sure to give students at least 4 to 5 seconds. Research shows that giving students more time to answer will increase the number of students who participate. Use gender-neutral language. Sometimes in English, people use male pronouns when referring to a group, but this can make female students feel left out. Teachers should use gender-neutral pronouns whenever possible. One example is, instead of saying guys when referring to a class or group, which is common in American English, say everybody or everyone. Body language. Teachers may not realize that their body language with female students might be different from what it is with male students. Whenever male or female students are talking, use respectful listening body language. Face the listener, do not walk away, and do not interrupt students. Also, the teacher can move to different areas of the classroom while speaking. This is important because students sitting further from the teacher tend to participate less.
Be aware when male students insult female students or female students insult male students. If the insults appear to be gender-based, students may be discouraged from participating in class in the future. Be quick to intervene and discipline the students making insults. This shows students of either gender that they will be supported. However, it is important that both male and female students are given the same discipline for the same actions. These strategies will help teachers create a more equal classroom environment for their students. They will also help teachers effectively manage their classrooms. Remember, the best form of teaching is the fairest form of teaching. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.